Welcome to another edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with a returning guest. If you remember him, he was in one of the earliest episodes. Brett Hurley is back for part two. So, Brett, welcome on back to
thanks
the
for
Brews
having
and
me
Crews.
For round two.
Now, this time, we have something different that we had than we had last time. We had a flight last time of, what, Toppling Goliath, I believe?
Yeah, I think
it's like a sampler pack.
That's the one out of Decorah, Iowa.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that was, we had some Christmassy type beers and stuff of that nature. But now we have High Noons, and you requested this one, and you actually brought these ones for us.
Yeah.
So this is a totally different thing that we're having compared to what we had before. Now it's got real vodka plus real fruit juice equals beauty.
Yeah, something like that. I had them, if you remember from the first episode that I was on, I talked about it at the PNC Championship, was the first place that. High Noon, so they were a big sponsor of the tournament. So I figured we'd give it a go.
Maybe they'll be a big sponsor of us here.
Never know.
Let's crack one of these bad boys open. As you said last time, no free shout-outs or something?
No free shout-outs.
Yeah, that's what you said last time. Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite of these four that we are about to embark
They only
on?
Had two.
You only had two of them?
They only had two different varieties at the tournament.
Which ones did you have?
I think it was peach and possibly pineapple.
Okay. The ones that are catching my eye are watermelon and passion fruit.
Go ahead and pick one, and we'll both try the same one together.
All right. Well, we'll try the same one together. Well, are we going to try them all, or are we just having...
I think we could try them all,
yeah. All right. Well, we might as well start off with mango then, since they just came out. First one's out, mango. So we got to crack these right by the mic to let everyone know the refreshing taste. Ah, that should be in stereo and surround sound and everything else. Cheers, Brett. Thank you for coming back for another round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, that's gonna be a dangerous one, although it's only, what, 4.2?
4.5.
4.5, so these aren't as heavy as the pseudo stews that we had prior to this. But you're back for round two here with me, and some of you who are watching might be wondering why we look like we just got off a golf course, because we didn't. We were watching the Masters tournament because you hosted a party for us.
Yes, the second year of hosting a little get-together with a few friends, and I like to cook up some food, and we just sit around and watch golf and talk smart.
So for some of you, you might think, well, who the heck can sit around and watch golf all day? Well, there's people, I think if you're people that play golf, it's easier to watch golf. If you don't play it, you don't appreciate it. That's what I always think. Your take?
My take is that there's, I don't think it matters if people, I mean, certainly it does matter if people play golf, if they can watch golf, because I think you have to be able to play it to watch it for the most part. But I also think it's a very divided thing where with the people that do play golf, there's still a very big divide in whether or not they can watch it and or not watch it.
It's tough.
So some people that play golf and play it a lot cannot stand watching it on television, and I'm just one of those people that I try to watch as many tournaments as I can. And
well, yeah, you actually go to them as well,
yeah,
as we found out. Now, the cool thing is we're watching the Masters tournament, and for some of you, you might go, okay, again, boring watching, but they have the app, which is really cool. You can basically follow any of the people you would like to follow for the most part. They have the thing that's called Features Group, which is like usually the people that they're trying to, probably the higher priority people that they're trying to get on there. But I think you can follow just about anybody from what I understand.
Yeah, there's features within the app, and I've had the app for, goodness, as long as I can remember.
Yep.
And the features have changed and obviously improved significantly. They have, typically they'll have, on as far as the video, so actually streaming it and watching it, they'll have 4, 5, and 6, holes 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
They'll have Amen Corner, which at Augusta National is 11, 12, 13, 12, hole 12 being
why
the short par 3.
Why do they call it that?
Because it's
a
corner of the course, as far as I know anyway.
Why
if somebody out there knows different, you know, shout out, comment, whatever you have to do. But as far as everything that I've ever known is because 11 kind of comes in, then you have 12 right at the corner, and then 13...
Oh, so they're all right by each other.
Yeah, you got 11, the 11 green, and then right next to the 11 green, you have the 12 tee box that goes over Rays Creek, short par 3, and then you hop on 13, which is Azalea, and that's the long par 5, and then it comes back around.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can follow holes, you can follow people, it sounds like. It sounds like a pretty, it's a really nice app, actually, if you are into golf, that is. Or if you're just into watching one player, I would say the same thing. So, you know, the other thing we had just talked about last night, we were just together, and you were talking about how long the course actually plays, because we were talking like, oh, man, if we could play there at some point, and you're like, yeah, if we ever played there, we'd like to be playing from where they play from. But you said it was like, how was it, like 8,000 yards?
It's over 8,000. It might. I'd have to look up to see exactly what it was. That's playing nuts. This year. I want to say between 8,300 and 85 or 88, something, somewhere around there,
yeah,
from where the pros are playing for this tournament. And every year, Augusta National, they do a really good job of kind of tweaking it. They're never really satisfied with the status quo, so they're always changing things and kind of moving things around, changing the shapes of the green. This year, there might have been some other minor tweaks, but I know one of the big features that they did this year was they extended hole 2, which is a par 5.
Oh, so they made it even longer.
They made it even longer.
Great.
And what from everything that I was watching and reading, there's a sand trap that was kind of, I think it was on the right side of the fairway, and from where they were playing at in years past, that sand trap was never really in play. So they tried to bring that back so that you actually kind of had to navigate around that sand trap to make it more of a hazard. So you were actually seeing some shaping of some shots and kind of just making it a little more challenging and exciting for the players. So.
Yeah, why not make it harder, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, today we watched, and it's, if for those who are listening right now, day three just completed of Saturday. Do you know who this is in the lead at the moment?
Yeah, we just checked. Scottie Scheffler is at -7 under par.
Oh, and do you know who is behind him at all? Was it like Homa or any of those guys?
I don't remember where.
That's all good. You can look it up if you want.
Colin Morikawa was right behind him.
Yeah, and he had that putt we were watching where he could have had eagle, and then he three-putted to a par. But, yeah, I mean, you were telling me a couple weeks ago you were thinking Scheffler might win. Now, last year when we got together, just the only time I remember asking who he thinks is going to win, you said John Rahm, and he did win.
Yeah.
And so I think you said Scheffler this year, if I remember right. Again, this is like a month ago probably, and he's in the lead.
Right now he's -7 going into Sunday.
Who's behind him and where are they at?
So we got Colin Morikawa. He's at -6.
Okay, so
Max Homa, and he's at -5. I don't know what the fourth one is. And then you got Bryson DeChambeau. He's at -3.
Okay, so we have a pretty tight race.
That's
here.
That's the top five.
Now, today I was watching, and it seemed like the course was playing pretty hard. So tomorrow I think they said it's going to be like 84, and it's going to be a little warmer because I think today was 74. And then yesterday, Friday, it was really windy, it looked like, and people were shooting terrible.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting tournament thus far. Thursday they had some weather, so they delayed the tee off by a couple hours. There were some thunderstorms that came through Augusta.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they delayed play on Thursday, didn't they?
Or was it because of darkness? It was like about a two-hour, I think it ended up roughly being about a two-hour delay. Because I think the ceremonial tee-off was supposed to be at 7:15 our time, so 8:15 Eastern.
Yep.
And I think it ended up being 9:15? I think it was 9:15 our time. So, yeah, 2 hours.
A little delay.
So they had a two-hour delay. So I'm trying to think. Tiger and his group on Thursday, they got through hole 13, I think.
Okay.
Because they had 5 to go. Yeah.
Sure.
They had 5 to go on Friday to complete their first round and then begin their second round. So Tiger's group shot 23 holes that day.
Oh,
But so there was a lot of groups behind his group.
Oh, sure. Now, when we get together, we're wearing golfing gear. Why are we doing so? I just followed suit.
You know, I always say golf is a prestigious sport, and you gotta dress appropriately. Yeah. So when I get together, especially for the Masters tournament, it's one of the greatest, in my opinion, greatest tournaments that is out there on the PGA Tour, and just everything about it. I've been watching. So last week Sunday is when they kind of start things going on at Augusta. So they do the drive. Chip and putt contest the Sunday prior, and then Monday morning, everything kind of kicks off, and there's all sorts of activities, mainly on the app.
Yeah, I saw
a lot of stuff going on. So I've been pretty much religiously watching the Masters app.
I've been dialed in, folks,
for about 6 days straight. Now 7 days, however many days it's been. And then tomorrow's the final day. So.
Yeah, and they do like a par three contest and all that. I saw kids, like some of the guys' kids were out there and everything. So it's almost like a family event.
So they do that. They do that Wednesday. I think they missed a couple of years recently. Weather cancellations, and then I think 2 years for COVID, they didn't do the par three contest. That's just one of those fun things too, where people will bring out their family, or they'll have somebody on their bag, you know, their wife or their girlfriend or whoever it might be. And I just think that's super exciting. Now, one of the caveats that they have is if you have somebody else either drive for you or chip, you know, any kind of strokes that are being played by somebody else that's not you, you're not eligible to win the par three contest.
Oh, gotcha.
So, and that's, you know, you kind of go back and forth with that, because I don't believe anybody that's ever won the par three contest has turned around and won the Masters tournament, the golf tournament.
Oh, really?
So you see some folks out there that are playing with their kids. I think probably one of my favorite ones that I saw this year was Bubba Watson's daughter.
I saw that.
Like an 11 or 12 foot putt.
Yep, I saw that on
the was a pretty cool moment. And I actually saw afterwards that he was recording it on his phone when she did it. So
that's
a cool memory that he's going to be able to cherish. Obviously, there's cameras everywhere. But
you know, sometimes people, I don't think, understand that this is, you know, you think of baseball, and it's like that father-son sport. But this is like kind of one of those things that's now turning into that father-son, father-daughter type sport, because you have John Daly and his kid playing. You have Charlie and Tiger playing. You have Nellie
Korda and her dad.
Yeah. And it's now starting to kind of turn into almost like a generational family thing, which is, to me, kind of fun, because golf isn't one of those sports that you ever think like, oh, this is that family type sport. You think of it as maybe just prestigious and it's boring and it's for old people. But I think that gets a negative connotation. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that I enjoy about watching it. I mean, I have a lot of memories growing up watching golf in my parents' living room with my dad, and we're just sitting down there, whether it was Sunday of the Masters or one of the majors or any of the tournaments, really. I mean, we were watching as much as we could. And so it always kind of takes me back to that childhood memory of sitting with my father watching the golf. Or, you know, Easter was coming around, and it always kind of falls around the Masters weekend, and we're going to have Easter brunch and, you know, go to church, have Easter brunch, and then we might try to go out and hit nine.
Sure.
Usually the course, if it was nice weather, the course courses were always usually busy.
You know,
so it was hard to get on sometimes. But, and it's also one of those things, I mean, I think back to, like, golfing with your grandpa.
I was just going to bring that up.
And it's so unique because, you know, when your grandpa's 82 years old, however old, you're not going to say, hey, grandpa, you want to go play one-on-one basketball?
Right.
No, you know what I mean? There's physical limitations that as people get older, they're just not able to do certain sports. But golf is always one of those things where it's like a kind of across generations, because, you know, as long as you're physically still able to go out there and swing. But golf's also unique in the sense where they allow for those older players to still be able to play and compete. You know, they have the handicap system where it's kind of a fair playing field, and, you know, younger generation might be teeing off from further back, and then the older folks might be teeing off a little bit closer. So it's kind of all encompassing, and you can still kind of compete and still kind of have that competition that you want, but not being forced into this limitation of age or, in some sense, physical ability.
Right, yeah, and I was just going to mention that. I golfed with my grandparents growing up, you know, Juice, obviously. He used to get me a membership at his golf course, and he used to just do odds and ends jobs for them and just said, I'm not charging anything, just let my grandson come play whenever it is. And we would always go out there and play when he was 70, 80. I don't know if he ever golfed when he was in his 90s, but I remember about 88 was the last time I think I remember him actually playing. So you're right. You can still compete and still have fun with that. And the other thing is, it's so funny. He would hit a bad shot, and then he'd get a beer, and he'd go, all right, it's about to kick in here. I'm about to start hitting better once this beer kicks in. And it never usually happened, but it was fun, though.
I'm sure he was having more fun anyway.
Well, it's always, yeah, it was always a good time. And it's also a nice social thing. Like, you're not out there, like you said, basketball. If you're playing basketball against each other, you're not having a social time. You're, you know,
you're like moving on the ball on the court a lot, and you're going back and forth, and you're taking shots, or you're playing defense.
Sure, yeah.
You don't have that time in between shots or in the golf cart or walking together, whichever method you do.
Right.
And spending that time in making those memories. Yeah. I just saw something the other day, and it was, I'm probably going to butcher it, and it probably doesn't matter because no one else is here to call me out on it. But it was like, golf isn't about the score. It's about the memories made on the course.
Okay.
And I thought that was a really unique way of looking at it, because oftentimes we find ourselves in this position where we're trying to compete, and we're trying to either outscore our last score, or if you got two people and they're trying to, I'm just trying to beat the other person, which obviously we know isn't good. You play, you try to do your best, play the course, don't worry That's about the other right. person. But still, you know, the competitive edge, you know, people are gambling on putts or gambling on
sure.
who can get closest to the pin on the par three. So, you know, obviously that competitiveness isn't just in a lot of people's nature, but it truly is about, like, just the memories. And
yeah.
I think of all the golf tournaments that we go into, or all the golf memories that I have growing up with you, and, you know, us golfing 27, 36 holes a day sometimes.
That's
I mean,
right.
those were long days, but we were – for sure typically doing about 18 holes a day.
Oh yeah, in the summers we were.
I mean, that was just a given. And then if we decided to push it and didn't want to go to the pool that day, we were doing 27.
That's right.
I think one day we even did 36, or that maybe you did 36 and I bowed out at 27. I can't
that
remember.
That was the day you had the heat
when
stroke.
When the heat stroke, yeah. Oh yeah, and it was hot. We'd be out there and it'd be 90 degrees and
pole carts.
And we were walking.
Yes. We had pole carts then.
We had the backpacks.
Do we have those? Well, I remember right when we were at about that fifth, sixth grade age, those started making a debut, because we had pull cards at first, and we looked like...
Well, that would make sense, because my junior set didn't have the backpack.
Yep.
So I would have had a pull card for that.
Yep, and then I finally got rid of mine and got the bag with some actual real clubs, not just the hodgepodge of whatever juice gave me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's one of those things that gets lost, that it can be a father-son, grandfather-grandchild type game. I think it's kind of fun to have that aspect, because you don't really think of it that, you know, you think of, like I said, baseball is that father-son sport and stuff like that. So I think it's a really cool sport. I love the atmosphere around it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I love going to the course. I love the jibber-jabber, the jabber-jabber.
Yeah.
Shout out Corey.
Yeah,
the jabber-jabber. You know, it's just kind of fun. It's kind of fun to be around it. You know, one of the things that I don't know if anybody else gets the same, I don't know, I can't think of the word, doesn't matter, but like the smell of the grass.
Oh yeah,
or like the smell of your glove when you take it off after a round. Like, all those things just excites me. Yeah. And it was a nice day out on the course, and you clean off the clubs. And
not everyone thinks that game is relaxing. Some people think it's a nightmare and it's just a big swearing fest. And I think
you can ask my wife. She always says, you do this to calm down.
Yeah, that's my dad says the same thing. He goes, this is stressful. This isn't fun. I'm like, well, yeah, it kind of is.
There's some days where I'm better than other days. It's just sometimes it's frustrating. And it typically, Allison tends to get, I don't want to say the worst of it, but there's some days where I'm shooting really good with her, and then I just have a horrible hole. And then sometimes it all collapses from there.
Yep.
And I don't go to the point of throwing clubs. I haven't done that in a very long time.
Shout out to Gritty.
I think the last time I threw a club was probably at Lewis and Golf Club, but I was probably golfing with my dad and my brother. But I don't do that. But that's one of the frustrating things, because in golf you really have to have a short memory.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You really do, because those can trickle over from hole to hole to hole. And
the shot. Oh, yes. Just, if you have one bad shot, you have to put that behind you.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing it also comes down to. You were just saying this, playing the course. You don't usually play the other person. You try to play the course is what you try to do. Because if you can beat the course, you can beat the other person usually.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go over to the gear you're wearing, because we're wearing gear. And what do you got on? I see a TW hat.
I got a Tiger Woods hat.
All right.
I believe this is the 2023 variation.
Okay, the variation.
My shorts, I think they're actually Hurley brand shorts.
Okay.
And then my shirt is TW. Nike from the Tiger Woods collection.
All right. So now that begs me to ask a question. Tiger's not with them any longer. Does that mean you're going to the Sunday Red?
I think I eventually...
Okay.
At first, I wasn't too excited about it.
Why?
It just wasn't like...
didn't stand out.
Yeah, it just didn't really stand out to me at first. And when I first saw the logo, I was like,
I know what you're saying.
I don't know. But as, and maybe this was why they did it. You know, because they had the teasers out there, the design out there, like maybe 2 months ago, I want to say. Maybe even three, like January, February, somewhere around there. So now we're talking probably 2 months ago. And that's when I thought to myself, it doesn't get me to the level of excitement that I thought I would be at.
Sure.
Where Tiger Woods has got this collection, it's going to be fantastic. But now we're a month or two out, and I'm looking on the website, and I'm trying to, and they're not really releasing much. They're only doing like little teasers.
Mm-hmm. They haven't, doesn't it come out in May, I think?
May 2nd or May 8th, okay. I believe, are the release dates for the clothes. But they're doing stuff like slowly.
Yep.
They're showing like his swag and his outfits that he's wearing for tournaments. And obviously with his limited tournament schedule, you're not seeing it as much.
Well, that's good that they're releasing it after the Masters because he's wearing it.
Yeah.
So when I look at it, it looks kind of basic, but it looks nice. And they like to call that quiet luxury. And the reason I know that term is from St. Croix when I modeled for them.
Oh, sure.
They called it was like the Steve Jobs look. It's really nice quality stuff, but it doesn't pop out of your face. Like this shirt that I'm wearing, the shirt that you're wearing has some designs on it. It really stands out. So you have like these basic looks with just like something there, and it's supposed to be like quiet luxury. Now, I don't know if that's what he's going for, or they just want to show you some things that he's got coming out, because it does look like quality stuff, just from what I saw on the website.
And it absolutely, even the logo has absolutely grown on me.
Right, yeah, it is interesting. It looks like, it almost looks like little tick marks for if you're keeping track of score almost.
Yeah, and that was obviously the Tiger, and then the stripes. There's 15 stripes representing his 15 majors that he's won.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, hey, there you go. You just dropped some knowledge on the folks.
So the logo has definitely grown on me. And there's, it looks better on certain items. Maybe the size, I'm not quite sure. Like his golf glove, I think it looks, that's a perfect size, looks good. But all the stuff that he's been wearing lately, I'm like, I could wear that.
Yeah, I like it. I'm interested to see where the price point's going to be. That's what scares me.
I would suspect it probably will be around the same range as his Tiger Woods collection from Nike. Okay. Which those, like this shirt, I think was like $95.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you buy it on clearance at the end of the year?
Clearance at maybe 90.
Oh, yeah. That's
it's
clearance.
Nike. And yeah. It's Tiger Woods.
Oh, man.
And they, you know, obviously everybody was anticipating his clothing line release.
Yeah, and I didn't even know anything about that.
Yeah, so that was one of the reasons why I really like the Nike Tiger Woods collection, and it's something that I've always wanted. I've just never been able to pull the trigger and justify spending that kind of money on shirts.
I know, that's tough.
But now that we golf in more tournaments, Allison and I try to golf once a week. So I thought to myself, why not just get a few nice Nike shirts? I have the hats, and then if Sunday Red comes out and we decide to go that route, then we'll go that route too. But I would suspect that's probably going to be the price point.
Yeah, I'm hoping that stays somewhat reasonable because I would like to get some gear too. So now, is this what you like to wear? This is like when you're going golfing. This is shorts. You're a shorts guy.
Yeah, I haven't broke down worn pants yet.
Yeah.
Our tournament that we have next Saturday, though, a week from today.
Yeah.
If the weather is staying where it's at, I might have to throw on some slacks. And
this will release the Monday after, so I'm hoping that we are talking championship afterwards.
Yeah.
The first one of the year, I haven't even sewn a club yet. I don't know if you have or not.
Yeah, I went out, actually, golf Westfield in February.
Oh, that's right, you did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were out in February with everybody else.
I was out in February with everybody else, and then I'm going today's Saturday. I'm going Monday. I'm going to play an exhibition round with one of our teammates, Calvin.
Okay, exhibition.
Exhibition. So we're going to shoot nine, see what kind of shape the course is in. Hopefully they leave the pins where they're at.
I hope so, too. I'm going to grab another one here.
There you go. I still got about half of mine, so.
Oh, man, you're slacking there. You're slacking. I got to see what this next one is. I mean, these are really, it says made with real fruit juice. I don't know what that actually means, but it also says sparkling water. So it's not as unhealthy. It says it's 100 calories. It's gluten-free.
I'm not a huge seltzer. I'm trying to think of the word.
But these are good?
No, where I was going with it is I just haven't tried a lot of seltzers.
No. Oh, wow.
So there's not a lot that I have to compare it to.
Sure.
I've had some Bud Light seltzers. Maybe I've had a White Claw once or twice in my life. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So there's not really anything to, I don't really have a whole lot to compare it to. But I really enjoy these. I think they're refreshing. Yeah.
Now, what I am wearing, I want to go over to what I'm wearing. I am a Bad Birdie fan.
Yeah, you are.
I know I am. I'm a sucker for Bad Birdie. But my hat's Ping, just like my clubs. And the shorts are O'Neill, I believe. They're, like, similar to those. And I am a shorts guy, so if I can wear shorts, I'm wearing them. I don't even know what I would do for pants right now at the moment. Like, next week, if we got to wear pants, I don't even know what I'm wearing. I might just wear sweatpants. I don't even know yet. It's supposed to be 46, folks. So, 46, that's rough. I don't know. But if it's sunny, it's going to be fine. If it's sunny, it's fine. If it's not windy, we'll be fine as well. So, now the next thing I want to transition into is... We talked when we just went to a concert, and yes, it was a boy band concert, folks. We went to a boy band concert, and we had the time of our life, and you have been to so many concerts in your life. You literally have a list of them written down. Is that correct?
Yeah, I try to keep track of them as many as I can.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask you.
I've been to a lot.
I'm going
to
ask you, what's your top one? And then I want you to tell me what the worst one you've ever gone to was.
Well, I'm going to pull up my list, folks.
Pull up the list.
It's fairly long. Do you want me to go through all the concerts I've been to or like my favorite one? Because I have a lot. What would you like?
I want you to give us your top one. I want number one and the... I want the one that sticks out to you in your mind the most ever.
That's so many, though.
Give me a couple. Give me top three, then. Top three. There you go.
Okay.
Top three. That should help.
Celine Dion. And this is not in any particular order.
Okay, so this is just top three.
This is just top three.
Perfect. That's what I want to hear.
Celine Dion. And I saw her twice. Once in Las Vegas during her Las Vegas residency.
Okay.
And then once in Minneapolis when she was on her world tour.
Of those two, which one was better, did you think?
Residency, for sure.
Residency, okay. Yeah. Probably you get time to prep. I suppose you're not traveling all around.
Well, and spoiler alert, I don't even know if she's going to ever go on tour again. But during the residency, when she sang My Heart Will Go On, there was a platform that they brought her up on. Shoot. And then there was water that like spun around her during one of the parts of the song. And during her world tour, which obviously she's traveling for, they used drones to like mimic.
Oh, the effect.
They weren't trying to mimic the exact scenario that they had at the concert.
Sure.
But they were trying to mimic that. Kind of that idea of like water surrounding it. So
okay, so the residency of Celine Dion, that's one of the top three. What we got next?
Garth Brooks.
Garth. How many times have you seen him?
Let me look. I think it's
let me look.
I think it's five.
Holy smokes. Five
yeah,
times?
Yeah, five times.
Okay, now, is every show different? Or are they...
Yes and no. Okay. So his world tour that he went on at first when he first came out of retirement.
Came out of retirement like Jordan?
Yes. So I don't know, and you might not know this. I don't know how familiar you are with Garth Brooks. So
very unfamiliar.
So and I'm not exactly sure on the years, but early 90s, he became really, really popular.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking like back when he, Central Park had hundreds of thousands of people. He was really big for like 2 years.
Sure.
And literally like on top of, like the business, like the pinnacle of where you would want to be at as a musician. But he had two young girls. And he made the decision to retire to raise his daughters.
Oh, that's admirable.
Very admirable, because at the time, no one does that. No one.
No, I know.
You know, you've been doing this for 2 years and you're at the top of country music and you're just going to retire to go raise your daughters. So, but he made that decision, raised his daughters. And I don't know what year it was, maybe like 2007 or 2008, he had a residency in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I think
he was doing shows in Las Vegas, but it was only in Las Vegas. It was just him. They came out like a DVD of his performance, and it was wonderful. But then the world tour, 2012, 2013, somewhere in that ballpark. He was doing arena tours for his world tour. Mm-hmm. And I've been to three of those. And those were all very similar in the songs, the different things that he would do for the show, the stage was all the same.
Sure, sure.
And then he went on, after he did his world tour for a few years, he embarked on a stadium tour. So then it was only geared at stadiums. So the first one that I saw on a stadium tour was at US Bank Stadium, where the home of the Minnesota Vikings.
Home of the Vikings.
And he was there with Darius Rucker. And I can't remember the other person that opened for him.
Oh, so Darius Rucker was opening for him?
Yeah, he had. Wow. I think there was two people that opened for him.
Big names opening for a bigger name. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know country music well, but I know Darius Rucker.
So I think U.S. Bank Stadium, their capacity for football games is around 67,000.
About that, yep. From what I
understand.
Somewhere
around there. I would anticipate that for that concert, there was probably close to 100 in that stadium.
Ooh, that's a lot of people.
Because they had the entire floor was covered. And he, one of the unique things that he does for his concerts too is some artists will have their stage,
yep.
And then behind the stage, they'll have curtains, and then they won't open that up.
Oh, they won't sell them behind it, right?
They won't sell them behind it.
Yeah, that's right.
A majority of the concert, unless you have something like in the middle, mm-hmm. and which you're seeing, I think Zach Bryan does center stage, and then they have like, there's 8 points throughout the stage that they'll sing from and kind of do it. Eric Church. He did that on one of his tours that I saw down in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they had a center stage. But one of the things Garth does is he even has his stages set back, more like a traditional stage would be set back.
Sure.
But he sells out the whole thing, and then he incorporates that.
Okay.
So.
Well, that, okay.
And then the final, not to cut you off, the final concert that I saw him at was the stadium tour in Lincoln, Nebraska Memorial Stadium, which is home of the Nebraska
Cornhuskers. How is an outdoor stadium sound? How is that sound? Is it different? I mean,
absolutely 100% different. Okay. And US Bank is not the greatest venue for music.
That's what my next question was that.
So I've been to Garth. I think I've only been to two concerts there. I've been to Garth, and it was Garth, so it there's a little bit of don't really care.
Sure, sure. He's there for the
experience. And then, we just recently, well, it was probably 2 years ago by now, but we were at Eric Church, Morgan Wallen. Ernest was there too.
Sure.
But we were on the floor, so we didn't really notice any bad acoustics, but I've talked to people that were like more in the back, and they said it was kind of echoing off the building. So.
Okay. So now that the acoustics aren't as good, correct, in the stadium? And
like
what
indoor
I mean, indoor
versus outdoor?
Stadium. Indoor.
I would think that probably just varies on the venue, to be honest.
Sure. You said you saw him other times. Which one was the best of that? Indoor, more intimate setting one? Or was it fun at Lincoln, Nebraska's outdoor stadium? Or
I would probably say the best was... They're all so good. But more than likely, if I had to choose one... It'd probably be with the one at US Bank. And the only reason why I say that is because I was with Allison.
Oh, sure.
Even though she didn't really know a lot of the Garth songs, but I was singing to every one of them. Like, and I was in my comfort. I was in my happy zone.
Yeah.
So everybody I wanted to be around me was
around
me.
Yeah, the experience sometimes
so,
makes it
like,
too.
And that was really fun. And our friends that we went with, one of Allison's friends and her husband, and Allison's friend was in our wedding. And I don't know if you remember when we were down at the river. For our wedding bus, and
yep.
Me and Mark were singing the river.
Oh, yeah.
So we went with him and Carrie, who was also in the wedding.
Gotcha.
And him and I were singing just like we were singing on the day of the wedding.
Oh,
so
yep.
That was really fun. But the first one, it was the first one, so that you have different levels of excitement.
Yep.
And then Nebraska's Nebraska. So you're like, it's hard.
You're home there.
Yeah, so like that's our home. And I was with Corey, and it was a blast. And it was just absolutely wonderful.
Sure.
So.
Okay, so then what's your next one? We've got Celine, we've got Garth, and then we go to blank. I'm gonna let you elaborate on that one. I don't go to as many concerts as you do. The ones I go to are usually a little smaller, a little bit more intimate. So I have different thoughts on my concert experiences. I don't think I've ever been to a stadium one before in my life. The biggest one I can recall. It's probably XL Energy Center or maybe the Amphitheater in Atlanta, Georgia. Those are some of the bigger ones I've ever been to. But some of my favorite ones, like I love seeing John Mayer. He was good. And Matt Carney is one of my favorites. Fun fact, though, is actually Matt Carney opened for John Mayer in 07. That was at the XL Energy Center. Had no idea who Matt Carney was until my dad started singing his song because he heard it on the radio at some point. And I'm like, what song are you singing? He goes, I'm pretty sure this is the guy. I'm like, no way. And he just said, Free BC. I'm like, what song is that? And it was called Nothing Left to Lose, and it's one of his best songs. But John Mayer, I saw him down when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, in an amphitheater, and that was really, really good. He had a cool background. It was like Northern Lights, stars, and stuff like that. And he just goes, and this is my biased opinion most likely, I think he's one of the best guitarists of all time. I love whenever he puts a guitar solo usually into some sort of song. One of them, my favorite, is song's called Edge of Desire, and he has like maybe about a 1 minute or so just straight guitar, and I love it. It's just, I don't know, it's got feeling behind it, it seems. But I saw him at the amphitheater in Atlanta, Georgia, and I thought it was fantastic. So that was one of my favorites I've ever been to. But I want to get back to your list of your three here, because I think you got one cooked up.
I probably don't. I have ones that I've been to a lot of them. Eric Church is another big one that I really like. I've had a lot of really good memories at Eric Church concerts.
Does Gritty go with the, I mean, Corey, does he go with the
Gritty 18?
Gritty 18, shout out.
He's been to several of their church concerts with me. Probably about half of them. I've seen him 6 times.
Oh, jeez, that's a lot.
So he's probably been to at least half of them with me. Brantley Gilbert, he's got a special place in my heart for concerts. His music is just phenomenal.
Didn't you meet one of the guys before they became big time? And if so,
Thomas Rhett.
That's the one, yes.
Yeah. So I was at a Brantley Gilbert concert, actually, in Chicago.
Okay.
And I had known, there was a song that I used to listen to quite a bit. It's called I Ain't Ready to Quit, and it was cut by Jason Aldean.
Okay.
And I used to listen to it all the time. Fantastic song. And it just happened to be around that time that I just, and it was an older song. I don't know how many years prior, but it wasn't like, just came out on the radio. And listening to it, I'm like, this song is just, it's just, it was one of the things I love about music is where it can take you emotionally and the memories that it, you know, that you have associated with it. So we were at the Brantley Gilbert concert in a place called Joe's on Weed Street, downtown Chicago, or not downtown Chicago, but it's in Chicago. Joe's on Weed Street was the venue. And
Joe's on Weed
Street? Joe's on Weed Street.
Is it the Weed, the street name, or?
It was Weed Street is the name of the.
It was just lined with marijuana distilleries.
No, so you walk in and it's got like a bar, restaurant, and then they actually have like a music venue where there's a stage.
Oh, nice.
There's a bar in there, like a wraparound bar in there, and it probably holds a couple thousand people at the most.
Nice, nice.
Maybe 1,000. So that particular concert, and Brantley Gilbert wasn't that big either, because a week, maybe 2 weeks prior to that, Brantley Gilbert had came and played Oktoberfest in La Crosse.
Oh, really? And now that's only just a few hundred people.
So he had played Oktoberfest La Crosse, and actually had met Brantley behind the stage because they used to park their buses right behind the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And so I was walking out, and he was back there. I think he was smoking a cigarette or something. And so I chatted with him for a little bit and told him I'd see him in Chicago. And so and those tickets were only like $10 to get into Joe's on Weed Street. So this takes you back. This is probably 2000. I don't even want to say what year because I don't even remember. 2013 maybe.
Before he was big.
Yeah, somewhere around there. So anyway, we go to the concert, and there was two people that opened for Brantley. What first guy was by name of, had a name of Brian Davis.
Okay.
Second guy comes out. Brown hair, kind of curly, had a backwards hat on with a Georgia peach, and he started singing a song. And I recognized the song, and it was I Ain't Ready to Quit. So Thomas Rhett, he's the son of Red Akins. So I kind of knew Red Akins. He's sang some songs that I knew, and he's a big songwriter. Thomas Rhett sang a bunch of songs. They were all really good. Really loved them. So afterwards, we're all kind of hanging out, and they're all kind of standing around, having beers, whatever. So I went up and started chatting with him, and I told him, I've listened to this song. I Ain't Ready to Quit. I can't even tell you how many times. I didn't know you wrote it because he had talked about how he wrote the song and Jason Aldean cut it. And I just like thanked him for it. And just a super down to earth guy. We sat and talked for probably 5-10 minutes. And I said, you're going to make it big one day. I can just feel it. Like your music was absolutely excellent. I think it was like 6 months later, everybody's talking about Thomas Rhett, Thomas Rhett, Thomas Rhett, Thomas Rhett.
Vision into the future.
There's certain artists that I just look at, and he was just one of them where it was just rolling off of his guitar. Everything about it was just, this guy is going to make it big.
Isn't it funny how you can tell someone's just got it, and you don't even know what it is. You're just like, you know who they got it.
Yeah.
You knew that at that point, and obviously he's big now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got, then you met Thomas Rhett too before he was big?
So Thomas Rhett, yep.
We just talked about. Oh, so that was the same concert or day?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I met Brantley Gilbert, but I met Brantley Gilbert at Oktoberfest.
Oh, so you met him in lacrosse?
I met him in lacrosse.
Oh, cool.
And I've done a few meet and greets since then. Sure, I did one with Corey down in Iowa. Does he remember you? I don't think so.
Damn it.
But the last time I saw him was actually, we went down to Ames, Iowa. Corey and I went down to Ames, Iowa to see him. And
where we had, at?
Whatever the basketball venue is.
Oh, yeah, Iowa Cyclones?
Yeah, for Iowa State.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
So we went down there, and we had VIP, which was like meet and greet, kind of hang out, and spend a little time with him. And when we did that, I actually told him, I said, this is like my fifth time seeing you. And so it was kind of, he's like, we're going to rock the house tonight for you. And then that I think Uncle Cracker opened for him, but they Uncle for Cracker. VIP they had this whole section blocked off, so I was literally right next to Brantley the whole concert. Sure. So
I know you're pretty big into country, and I have a few country artists that I like to listen to. They're not as country as most people like. So I feel like there's this group of people like they just love their traditional type country, which is. Was it George Strait? You got your Alan Jacksons. You got your Garth Brooks. Those are, like, to me, the traditionals. And then now you got what people sometimes call the contemporary. I don't know. More. I would say it's almost more like rock, to be honest with you. But, you know, some of my favorite ones is, like, Thompson Square. I saw them at Grand Ole Opry when they first had their hit song, Kiss Me or Not. That was when I first saw them at the Grand Ole Opry. I loved it. It was really cool. But what was even neater about that experience is saw them, knew the song, but the guy who sings Proud to Be an American, was it Lee Greenwood?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the closer for that show that day, and he sang that song, and that was pretty cool. Yeah. And then another one is Nico Moon. I love listening to him on the river, and Jake Owen. Those are some of my other favorites that I love to listen to. And so there are some country songs and artists that I can get behind. But a lot of these country artists are now making these big-time stadium tours. I mean, you got, like, Corey's down seeing tonight. He's seeing Luke Combs. And he had a two-day show at the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. That just shows how big he actually is.
Yeah, Miller Lake Park, I think, is what that is.
Yeah, Miller Park. Yep. Yeah, Miller Park. And then Morgan Wallen. I mean, I feel like he's not exactly country, but he is country. Because he's doing like that cross variation between like hip-hop, too.
So, fun fact about Morgan. I just was listening to a podcast. I'm training for a half marathon, so I have, like, a lot of time.
Yeah, I hear you've been listening to this one, too, on your runs.
I've listened to this one once on one of my runs that I did because that was the day we were going to Westlife concert. Normally, I listen to it on my way to work.
Oh, perfect.
So.
Love that.
I was listening to, I can't remember the name of the podcast, but it was Theo Von's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I was listening to it.
Love Theo Von's.
With Jelly Roll and Ernest.
Okay.
And that one, I think, was released back somewhere around Christmas time. But I go back and I just kind of, when I look through Theo's podcast, I find artists that this would be cool.
That's what I do.
This would be entertaining. And I kind of pick through those.
Yep.
And so the other day when I was running some longer runs, I listened to that podcast with Jelly Roll and Ernest. And they were talking about Morgan, and obviously Jelly Roll and Ernest are both artists, singer-songwriters. And they're on these platforms, Spotify, Apple, all that
Who's
stuff.
Who's Ernest? Is that a friend of his, of Jelly Roll's?
So have you ever heard of like song Flower Shops?
I'm not. So I'm going to tell you right now. I know who Jelly Roll is. Not familiar.
Talking
much
about Ernest, not Jelly Roll.
No, well, right, but
so Jelly Roll's singer songwriter. He's got a lot of songs that you probably would know.
Yes.
And then Ernest has songs. You would probably know more of his songs that he's like written or co-wrote with.
Oh, sure.
But he does sing. He does go to like concerts, but they're all kind of connected together in the Nashville scene.
Sure.
And so anyway, they were talking on their show on this podcast that so Morgan's like the number one streamed artist on Spotify.
Wow.
From what I remember from the podcast. In the like the second highest stream podcast, there's like almost a billion streams between the two.
Whoa. That's a lot.
So it's absolutely wild on how quick. I mean, it's obviously taking some time, but.
Yeah, but it's not as much as you might think.
Yeah.
Some people spend their whole life and never get that. And he was just like, what was he's like? Not even that much pre-COVID, where he was just like doing small shows.
Like 2018, he was just doing small like county fair shows.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden just blowing up.
And most of those songs that he kind of became, that kind of blew him up, those were like Ernest wrote and.
Okay. Well, see, now I think the
Cole
one.
Cole wrote with Morgan, but.
So the one thing I think that he's doing a good job of is he's doing like cross-platforming, kind of like Nelly and Tim McGraw did. You know, like. You never thought that that would ever happen. Rap, country, seems like two different worlds. Really, it's not, though. And I think that's what Morgan Wallen is doing a good job of, is he's getting, like, he did, like, that the song that he walks out to, that's with a rapper. I just looked it up the other day. That walkout song he does. Yeah. And I think that is...
Broadway Girls?
Yeah, Broadway Girls.
I don't know the name of the song, but...
And I think it is, it's really cool. It's kind of funny because he's acting like he's about to go out to like some big game. He's like licking his fingers, wiping down his boots.
Or a fight.
Or a fight, yeah.
Yeah, like a boxing
fight.
And it's
really kind of neat. And just before WrestleMania happened, I think he was in like, I want to say Indianapolis, but anyways, Pat McAfee's there and another, I want to say he was an NBA player, but I don't know.
I believe it was.
Yeah, I don't know all the big time NBA players that are maybe in the Indianapolis area scene. But anyways, it's really kind of cool. It's almost like a walkout song. It's really cool. Almost gives you goosebumps watching it a little
bit. They're doing a really good job of incorporating a lot of different ideas into concerts.
Yeah. That's what you got to do, though, because I feel like if you just did a classic concert nowadays, you're not going to be exciting to watch.
Unless you are the George Strait, Alan Jackson.
But that's what they expect from you.
For sure.
And because they are older. One of my favorite classic country artist would be, I think, Alan Jackson. I like his stuff more.
I saw him at, what's the, Prior Lake, the casino?
Oh, yeah.
At the outdoor amphitheater.
Cool.
And one of the things that he said when he first came out was, if you expect me to run around and dance on stage, it's not going to happen. I'm going to sit here playing my guitar and play all my number one hits.
Heck yeah.
He wasn't lying, and it was absolutely phenomenal.
But he doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need to run out and do all that
he
stuff.
He just stands there in one spot, plays his guitar, and sings the song.
Heck yeah. You
and
don't
Garth
need that.
Is almost the exact opposite. Garth is running around, jumping on high energy.
Yeah, so everyone's different, though. And that's, you know, whatever got you there, don't change it now.
Yeah.
You're already there.
Yeah.
I just saw Thompson Square again, actually, recently at Treasure Island. Stephanie and I, we went with a friend of ours and my dad, and we also saw Lone Star. And Lone Star brings me back to when we were at the middle school fun nights.
Oh.
Baby, I'm amazed by you.
So I saw Lone Star in the La Crosse Center.
Oh, yeah.
When they were, like, popular.
Oh, really? They were just there at the La Crosse Center, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, La Crosse Center doesn't hold much more than what Treasure Island does.
That was a big deal. I mean, that was right. Well, let's see.
I want to see.
It would have been in, like, 2003, probably.
No, yeah.
2003, because I drove. I probably just got my license.
Yeah. To me, I remember them as us in like 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
That's when I remember Lone Star. Because we had a few other ones we used to like to sing. Steve Holy, Good Morning, Beautiful Day.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, that was a good song too. So there are some country songs that I absolutely do love, but I'm not huge into it like some people are, or even like you, where you're going to stadium tours, and I think that's really cool that
I'm not exclusive to country.
Oh, I know you're not.
I mean,
you're exclusive to boy bands too.
My list on my phone, I have it broken down by genre.
Oh, jeez.
Like, here's rock, here's R&B, here's country. Like, I remember one of the concerts that you would probably absolutely not even imagine me ever being at, and it was probably close to one of my favorite concerts. It was a Marilyn Manson, Rob Zombie.
No kidding.
And it was in Cedar Rapids. I think it's Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, they got the U.S. Cellular Stadium.
I think that
stadium.
Was it. It was down in Iowa, one of the cities down there.
Yeah.
And Allison's a big Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Korn. She actually, we're going to Korn in October. I never got into Korn.
Gosh, you're still around, huh?
Yeah, I never got into Korn. But so we booked this trip the concert for Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson, and I was not too excited. I've always liked Rob Zombie.
Sure.
Even Marilyn Manson, like, okay, that music's fine.
Yeah, let the bodies hit the floor,
man.
The
concert was absolutely phenomenal.
High energy,
the theatrics.
I
well, in the theatrics, the pyro, the
yeah.
all the stuff, it was just absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, man. Well, that's kind of weird. You know, that's, like, totally different than what I would be seeing you go to is that. But, I mean, obviously, if your wife enjoys it, you're going to take her up and do it. I mean, that's why I went to Lone Star and Thompson Square, but I love Thompson Square. So I will go to that kind of stuff. And then sometimes if it's someone I don't care about, I'm like, if your friends want to go with you, it's all good for me. So now you have – how many? Top of your head, how many concerts do you think you've been to? A couple hundred?
Let's just go through the list.
Oh, okay, so.
I just have the list on my phone.
Well, what so genre are we going to start off with?
So I have the rap, hip-hop, R&B. I'm just going to go off my list and how I have it.
Oh, perfect. You got the list.
I don't want to say this is an all-inclusive list because there might be concerts I forgot about.
Okay.
So just bear with
me. You better have that Nelly one on there.
That's actually the first one.
Oh, yes.
So out of my rap, hip-hop, R&B, I got Nelly, 50 Cent, Justin Bieber.
When did you see 50 Cent? And where the hell was I?
I think I was 15. I saw him in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh.
15 or 16.
Okay.
Do you remember that like G-Unit shirt that I had that said Free AO on the front?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That was purchased at that concert.
Oh, I still have my Nelly shirt from our concert.
I do, too.
We were in seventh grade, and we're at a Nelly concert when Nelly just first...
Came to Winona State.
Yeah, he came to Winona State. And oh my gosh, the things we saw as seventh graders.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you tell your dad it was a Christian concert?
No, that's what you told your dad.
Oh.
Because my dad just bought the tickets. And he said, I heard Nelly's pretty popular. I bought you and Chris tickets if you guys want to go.
That was awesome.
And then you said, how am I going to convince my dad? He knows this is dirty music, is what you always used to say. So I said, just tell him it's a Christian concert. And that's what you did. So
the reason he came, though, is because he had like a cousin going to Winona State or something.
That was the rumor.
That was a rumor.
I don't
okay.
know. I don't know if it.
I mean, okay. So, folks, for those who are listening, it was like 1999 when Country Grammar pretty much just first dropped, and he wasn't really known yet. He got really big on that second.
I think
album.
It was just the one song that he had.
Well, yeah.
Saint Lunatics was there. Fredro Starr.
Yeah.
Well, in the we later determined Redman.
We thought was there.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah. It was really cool. I mean, at seventh grade, we were like in heaven because then another concert that we went to was like Jars of Clay. Remember that? Where we're at the Winona High School and we're just sitting in chairs.
I'll have to see if I have that. I don't know if I have that on my list. So that goes with the rap, hip-hop, R&B. Now we move on to rock.
Okay, rock.
Live, which you should remember.
Yep, I remember that one. I was going to say you better have that on.
Sugar Ray.
Cool.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Mm.
Plain White Tees. Saw them twice.
Okay.
Daughtry, Uncle Cracker, I believe I've seen him twice, Kid Rock, Rob Thomas, Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, Noah Gunderson.
Who's Noah Gunderson?
Noah Gunderson does, I don't know if you'd classify it as like indie.
Okay.
But it's very like peaceful, relaxing music, very emotional.
Okay.
Deep. He actually did a lot. I don't know if you've ever watched Sons of Anarchy.
I have not.
So he's done quite a few songs for Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
So now this section is called Oldies and Pop.
Oldies and Pop.
Let's see how well my categories are. I got the Eagles, Bob Dylan, Peter, Paul, and Mary times three. Do you know Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Well, I know.
Puff the Magic Dragon, Lemon Tree.
Okay, yep. So you've been to them three times.
Three times, damn. Yep. Parents were huge Peter, Paul, and Mary fans. We grew up listening to Peter, Paul, and Mary. So
Okay. Every
chance we could that they would take us to. Beach Boys, Celine Dion times two, two cellos.
Two cellos.
Which is fantastic.
You're wearing your tuxedo next time, you say?
Yeah, we have Hauser coming up. It's in June.
Okay.
So I think I preemptively put Hauser on the list. But I got two cellos, Westlife, Hauser.
Westlife. We'll get into Westlife. Yes.
So for country, I have Garth Brooks, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Alan Jackson, Brantley Gilbert times six, Brian Davis.
Oh, Brantley Gilbert times six.
Eric Church times six, Morgan Wallen, Eric Paisley times two, Josh Thompson, The Band Perry, Thompson Square.
Wow.
Easton Corbin times two, Josh Turner. Luke Bryan, Lee Bryce.
All right.
Cole Swindell times two.
I saw him.
Rhett times four. Josh Grayson, Jared Neiman, Eli Youngband times two. Dierks Bentley, Brad Paisley times two. Miranda Lambert, Justin Moore, Rascal Flatts,
Jason Aldean times three, Kenny Chesney, Casey Musgraves, Chris Cagle, Craig Morgan times two, Lone Star, Jimmy Wayne, Jake Owen times two, Old Dominion, Frankie Ballard, Randy Houser, Cam, Joe Diffie, Tyler Farr, Mark Chestnut.
So safe to say you're a country fan.
Some of those concerts I worked, though. I did security for.
Well, that's cool, too, though.
So Joe Diffie, Mark Chestnut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the one that we just went to, Westlife. Now, folks, if you don't know who Westlife is, they had one hit song in America. It was called Swear It Again. Came out in about 1999 in America, maybe 2000, right around that area. Anyways, if you don't know it, if you're roughly in your mid-30s, you probably know it. If you're younger than us, you probably don't know it. But I got the passion for it. This one's really good. And if you don't know who they are, look it up. You'll probably recognize that one song. It's called Swear It Again, Westlife. Well, anyways, they had never, ever come to America until March. And we finally got to see them. We grew up with them. Not many people knew who they were. And we had a blast. You went on, quote, this is in my top five concerts.
100%.
100% top five.
No doubt. That's why I was struggling a little bit when you asked me my top three. Because I knew Westlife was in the top five.
Yep.
And so I was trying to gauge, should I throw Westlife in the top three? And I just couldn't commit to it at that point. But for sure, top five, easily.
Oh, yes. I mean, when you think of a boy band, you don't think of getting, at least I didn't think of getting hyped up and excited. But whatever they did that night was amazing. They had high energy. There were songs that brought us back to our childhood. As you said, music puts you back into an emotional or some sort of state of mind. And when Swear It Again hit, man, it took me right back to when we were 7th and 8th graders.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, it was.
That's the beauty of music.
Yeah, and the funny part is, this was at, they didn't come and do stadiums. They didn't come and do any of that kind of stuff. It was at the Chicago Theater. And from the outside, the Chicago Theater doesn't look like a whole heck of a lot. It's got a really cool sign. But you get in there, and holy smokes, it looks like you're in, they had artwork on the wall, on the ceilings, the walls, everything. It was just really beautiful inside there.
Absolutely phenomenal.
And, man, we went with Justin and Lana, so that was really kind of fun. We met them in Chicago and had dinner beforehand, and I didn't know what to expect from them, to be honest with you.
I would agree with you. I was obviously love Westlife.
Yep.
I have a lot of memories with Westlife.
A lot of love ballads they have, folks.
But I wasn't quite sure what it would be like however many years later, 27 years later.
Yeah,
I guess I know. 23 years later. So I wasn't sure what that was going to be like. I knew I was excited to go. Obviously, we were able to spend time together. And I was like, I guess if it's a big fail, we're still together and we're having fun. We can have a nice supper, nice dinner together and do whatever. I did not quite expect it to be as much as it was.
Yeah.
Where I think the only songs we weren't singing was when they went into their Mamma Mia segment.
Westlife, you can cut that out. You cut that part
and
out,
that was,
man.
It was wonderful.
They did
it
a good job, yes.
Absolutely phenomenal. And I'm sure at some point in their career, that was like a thing. It just wasn't anything that we ever paid attention to or even, I wasn't even expecting that.
Yeah.
So that was, there was what, three songs that they played during that skit or segment, I guess I call it?
Yeah, it was like flowed just one after another. And I don't know if they were trying to appease the American audience because maybe not all of us have heard all their songs like
it could
I have
be.
Or you have. Maybe that's what they were trying to do, but it was right in the middle of the show. So they started off hot with one of their hits that is on one of their new albums that not everyone would know. And then they went into this Mamma Mia. And then I feel like the third act, I would quote unquote act, I feel like they went into some of their classics that we grew up
and
on.
I obviously wasn't criticizing the Mamma Mia section. Maybe it was like a self-made intermission where they're, hey, we'll sing. You guys want to do go to the bathroom, refresh your drinks,
yes,
or whatever it might be, but still keep playing. I don't know. But that my point of saying that was like those were the only songs I didn't sing. I think every other song we sang every word and every note,
yes,
as loud as we possibly could.
Oh man, I don't think we sat down. And I know you were running up and down the aisles. You were so hyped up.
It was the so energy level in that building. I don't think there were many besides Justin. Justin sat the whole time, but he was fine. He said he was fine. But I don't know if there was any other people sitting in their seats the entire time. I remember looking behind us and saying to them, hey, we're really sorry, but we're going to be standing the whole time. And they literally looked at us and said, that's fine, so are we.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. And I was very grateful for that because, sorry, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be standing. Like, we're going to stand and we're going to sing and we're going to be waving our arms around. Like, this is fun.
Oh, and
everybody else was doing the same thing.
I had my arm around my neighbor guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody else.
We're just sitting there. It was fun.
So fun. And their energy and the atmosphere was so positive. And everybody was happy. And everybody was just having such a wonderful time because their music is so.
I don't know what it is.
There's a few. They have a few sad songs. But even the sad songs, you're like, I'm going to hug my neighbor. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to hug my neighbor on this one. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Well, the funny part is, though, when you think about just the only thing I regret about that night is that we didn't book earlier and get closer tickets. That's the only thing I regret.
Yeah.
We had good tickets. Like, we were in the first row of the upper deck, still good view, but to be as close as we possibly can would have been amazing. But that's okay because we still got to see them, and I'm hoping that there was a good showing that they're going to come back to America once again because I will go once more.
So you know what? There's obviously a lot of good memories I have from that concert, but one of the things when I came home and I was telling Allison about it. So maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a public forum. So when we were at the Rob Zombie, well, not just the Rob Zombie concert. One of the things I tend to do at concerts is if I have a seat somewhere that I'm not happy with midway through,
oh, yeah,
I'll try to find my way.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like a Twins game.
Just like a Twins game.
Or Vikings. You see a couple chairs, seats open. You're like, oh, he's just scoot down there.
Yep.
So they've done a really good job of buttoning some of that stuff up. But so I'm kind of known.
They buttoned it up.
I'm kind of known for sliding into places where we don't have tickets for.
Sure.
Obviously respectful. If somebody tells us to leave, we'll leave. And one of the things I had asked you, they probably had maybe three or four songs to go, hindsight knowing that when they ended. And you want to get down there? We can go down there. I said, I'll get you right to the front row. And you looked at me and you were like, I'm having a wonderful time where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, that's good. One, I don't want, I mean, it was a very intimate venue. So I don't know how well we could have snuck down there.
Hindsight,
but two, it was also like we would have missed probably the best part of the show when we were trying to get down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. That's right. Because, I mean, you said it's intimate and I mean, they're going to watch us walk up the aisle. Like, where are we going to sit? We have to do something. But yeah, that was, I don't know. That was just something else. I wasn't expecting it either as much as you weren't, but it was funny. I remember it was like September 29th. I think I text you and Justin. I go, Westlife, Chicago, March 18th, you in?
That was how long ago, or how many months prior to it?
I mean, it was right after my wedding.
I book concerts way in advance too.
I know you do. It was right after my wedding, and both of you, I wasn't expecting it. Both of you go, yep, yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so I went back in on my computer and I looked up tickets and we booked it right away.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you guys to say yes. I was expecting, I don't know if I can or I can't because it's so far out.
But see, that's I like booking things that far out because it's easy for me to say, yep, that's fine. I can look at my calendar. And
right.
And when I look at my calendar and I got nothing going on, I go, yep, just book it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, otherwise my schedule will fill up. And then if it gets closer, I'm not going to do this. But if I book something out in September, like Hauser for June, I think I probably booked it in August.
Yeah.
When the tickets came out, and it was just book it to the point where I had to remind myself, put that in your calendar.
Yep.
Because it's so far out. So
well, that's the tough thing. I usually don't book things far out. And Stephanie knows it. She's always like, book things in advance. That way you have it, and it's usually cheaper. And I'm like, yeah, but what if I got something that pops up that day? Well, like you said, just book it. And
things
then
will pop
thing.
Up. They always will pop up.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned. My wife, Allison, is such a good planner. I mean, we're booked out through the end of this year with trips or concerts or
right,
anything.
Yep.
And obviously we can plug and put things in there.
Plug and play.
But that's how far in advance we like to plan trips or plan things that we're going to because something will come up.
Yeah, and then you
won't
be able
to do it. If it's bad enough that we have to reschedule it, then that just means that's more important than what we had planned.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. So, man, what else is going on? You haven't been here since December, but just before Christmas, man. What else has been going on? It's been... Well, about 5 months since you've been here on the cast. You were one of my first episodes.
What was that, episode four?
You're episode four, and now you're in fourth place downloads-wise.
Fourth place. How do the download algorithms work?
So from what I understand, I did a little research on RSS.com, and what it does is just I upload something, it goes out to all the services that I say to go out to, and it says the downloads mean both downloads and listens. So I had a good one 2 weeks ago that popped off, and that was in third place. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if it had to do with shares or if it was because it was a female, and you know, I've had mostly males on my cast.
So it could be somebody just listening to it from one of the platforms or physically downloading it.
Yep. Oh, that's what it says.
That was my question.
To me, when I see download, I'm like, they had to download it or follow it. So that's the one thing I'm trying to work on, like, what can I do to boost up the listens / downloads and
time.
Get the follow? Yeah, time as well. So I was thinking of some like promotional things maybe I should do, giveaways and stuff of that nature. I don't know. Just kind of spitballing, storming with stuff. And well, I'll get it figured out. But right now I'm starting to figure out, like, got new cords in here that aren't coming out. And I can see that our mics haven't cut out yet.
Stuff's actually recording like
it's
supposed to. Yeah,
now we got the mic flags, they call them. Got the Bruising Cruise mic flag. So, I don't know. I want to get some T-shirts and stuff just to have, give them to guests that have been to the Speakeasy Studios. So, I don't know. I'm trying to
get stickers.
Stickers?
Yeah.
Yeah, those do tend to work, man. That's right.
Stickers work.
I give them this right here. Right here, the podcast.
Yeah, just make those into stickers.
Yeah.
Hand them out.
I guess I'll have to do that. I was spitballing with some people the other day. I was like, what kind of
things? They make them right on Canva.
Yeah, but like if I did a giveaway, what would people that listen to this, what would get them excited to share and listen in that? Like, is it a grill? I mean, I don't know. What would you love, I guess, if...
Well, this is interesting. Now we can kind of turn the tables a little bit. I could be the interviewer and you're the guest.
I love it.
In the train of thought that you're at with... Do you want to boost the market you're reaching? Do you want to be able to get more guests on the show? What outcome are you looking for when you say, I'm thinking of these ideas of things to do? What do you want to come from those ideas that you're talking about?
So that's a good question. Right now, with what I'm telling you, is more to get downloads / listens. At the moment, I'm not having, which is actually surprising and actually very flattering, I've had actually people reaching out to me wanting to come on and people wanting to do part two. Like you said, hey, we should do a part two. I'm like, just tell me when and where. And well, we know where. Just tell me when and we'll do it. And just today fell in line because we were already together and we went down and put canvas on your boat and the eyes and glass on. And you're like, let's go down and roll an episode. I'm like, let's do it. Let me just get my process going. And so I think listens is the big thing because if I can't get a guest on or it's something just, I've had guests that say I can't do it this week. No big deal. I can record one on my own. I have no problem talking for an hour, which is surprising to myself. So I don't think I'm having trouble getting guests on. Getting a guest that people would know in a wider range. Like people got to know you and me to want to listen to this for the most part at the moment.
Or maybe they want to get to know somebody.
That too.
That's one of the things. I listen to your podcast weekly, and there's two reasons why I listen to your podcast weekly.
This is good information.
The first reason is I am looking for critiques or things that I can help you improve with.
Okay.
Or also throwing you your flowers and saying, hey, and I just did that the other day where I'm like, hey, you know, they're getting better. And there's things that you're doing that are improving. Not saying that anything was ever bad, but there's always room for improvement as human beings.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's reason number one that I'm listening to it is because you're my friend. We've been friends a long time. I know that you're passionate about this. So if there's things and advice or comments or suggestions that I could give to you that might say, hey, try this or try that, then I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I appreciate those kind of feedback.
And the second reason why I do it isn't because necessarily that I know the guests you have on. It's because I'm curious to who they are.
Yeah.
Some of them, obviously, I know. I would say probably a majority of them I do. But also, this is a very different format. You're sitting down and you're having an intimate conversation with somebody, and they're opening up their lives to a certain extent. Some might be more closed off than others, and not in a bad way, just saying. But I remember listening to I believe it was last week's episode, or episode 15.
With Ashley?
With Ashley.
Yep.
You know, she became very vulnerable and was talking about some stuff. And so you're seeing things in a completely different light. And publicly, right? This is going to be shared on all the different platforms for podcasts. So I may know, let's say, Matt Fitzgerald. See him at the golf tournaments all the time.
Yep.
Hey, buddy, run into him at the bars. Have a beer with him or whatever it might be. But sitting down and listening to him have a conversation with you for an hour and a half or an hour and 40 minutes or even an hour, you learn more about who he is, where he come from, all those different things. So that's reason number two on why I listen to podcasts. So reason number one, you're my friend, and I want to be able to sit, either give you your flowers or give you your pointers and say, hey, this is what I think.
Yep.
And then two is I'm trying to get to know these people.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
And
that
it's an interesting way to do it.
And this is, you know, that's kind of the same thing I do when I'm listening to a podcast. I'll find one and I'm like you said, you scroll through Theo Von's and you're like, oh, I want to learn. I want to listen to that person right there. And I do the same thing with most everyone. I don't listen to everyone's usually religiously. I don't think I listen to any of them religiously. I just wait until there's a guest that either A, I know and I want to know more about, or maybe something that Some of my favorite ones are conspiracy theories. Those are some of my favorite ones. I just like to see people's point of views on certain things too. So I think that's kind of fun as well for myself. But I appreciate some of the feedback. I'm just trying to get more listens out there. I thought maybe a giveaway would help out. I don't know. Just to get some listens out there.
I think one of the things that you're going to have to, how do I say this? It's going to take time.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? So patience is a virtue. Yep. So steady, what do they say? The steady hand wins the race, or steady, I can't even think of what.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, slow and steady wins
the race. There you go, man. You're just giving out wise wisdom right now.
All these wise pieces of wisdom. But I've seen that, like Allison, you know, she started her business.
Yep.
And some
What's
days,
that business called?
Allison Nicole Nutrition.
What was that again?
Allison Nicole Nutrition.
Okay, shout out.
Shout out. No free sponsor
me. Sponsor me. I need some food.
You can get a sponsor. Shout out. No free shout out for Allison Nicole Nutrition. All right. Third one. So one of the things, and it's, she absolutely passionate about it, loves it. And there's some days where she comes to me and, man, I feel like I'm doing a lot of this work and I have nothing in return. But then she'll have one thing that clicks and it'll be like, woof, look at all that. And it just takes time.
Yeah.
Right. It takes time. Figure out what's maybe figure out people that are hitting more hits or more downloads.
Yeah.
And maybe try to look for patterns there. Is there somebody, is there a topic that they're talking about that all of a sudden it's intriguing? Is it, like you said, that Ashley's episode, for some reason, all of a sudden now it's, is it because she's a female guest and that's why people are listening? Or maybe she just knows more people that are listening to it.
Yeah.
And some of those things you just don't know.
Right. Yeah. You'll never get
there might be
analytic
topics. Like, there might be people that listen to this because they're like, I know Chris and Brett, and they're going to talk for an hour and a half about nonsense, and it's going to be funny. And
listen, this isn't nonsense, folks. This is.
But you know what I mean? So you kind of have to look at, okay, what's my goal? What do I want it to look like? How do I want to get there?
Yeah. Well, we'll figure that out. But yeah, like I said, you know, thing is, though, I'm not looking for money, obviously. I'm here having fun with this. So it's kind of like.
So then it's shout out, free shout outs.
It's free shout outs, to myself, right? But like you're like, hey, let's go record an episode. You don't have to twist my arm to do that. I'm all game for that. So anytime someone wants to record, I'm not like, oh, geez, let me see if I can fit it in. No, I'm like, let's do it. Let's go.
I think it is fun sitting down and talking, just having a conversation.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do like that you've started to do recently, probably not recently, it's probably been at least maybe half the episodes now, or maybe you've gone back and just changed some of the like the titles of them, is you kind of give the snippet of what those topics are, because you can go golf, boats, whatever it might be.
Yep.
You know,
shout to
podcasting.
My wife. Shout to my wife on that.
Yeah, Alice, whatever it might be.
She told me to
at
do
least
that.
You kind of like. Oh, shout out to,
she's the one that told me. She's Steph like, told you. Maybe, you know, make your title like what it's about. And then I was like, well, usually I have like about three topics because I figure if we talk on three things at 20-ish minutes, you're at an hour. And obviously we roll over. Like right now we're at 1:15 per usual.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, at least if I have three topics that are intriguing. And then I started trying to make my descriptions a little better, more detailed. oriented, so that way if someone's looking like, what is this about, it's not just real generic and general. You can dive in and be like, oh, they're going to be talking about the Masters tournament. Oh, and who they think is going to win. Oh, and they had a party, and they got a golf tournament. I try to get more detailed with it. And I think that's how you get maybe more views on YouTube. I don't know. Someone said something like that. They said the tags don't even matter hardly on YouTube.
I don't usually watch the YouTube episodes.
Yeah, that's like,
sometimes I do, and this is where I get, and maybe this is just a me thing. If anybody else does this, can somebody please either come on the show or the podcast and tell Chris or make a comment somewhere? So sometimes I'll log on to the YouTube just to see what like people are wearing. Yeah. And so while I'm listening, yeah, I can envision that conversation.
Oh, that's a good
because
idea.
Because when you and I are just sitting here, you don't need to watch the whole video right to see what you and I are doing. Now, like when you had, there was some folks that you had on maybe a couple times with like trading cards when you're doing your trading cards.
Yeah, with Ted.
Yeah, and they were actually showing, like physically showing some cards.
Yep.
That one I actually watched the ending of because I was trying to see what he was like
sure.
showing and
yeah,
describing.
I had my Jordan gear on.
Yeah, but other than that, I might log on to the YouTube episode and maybe watch a minute and go, okay, Chris is wearing his bowling shirt. His guest is wearing this outfit. And then in my head, while I'm listening to it, you know, while I'm driving around or driving to and from work, I know what you're wearing.
Yeah, you can. Well, that's a good idea. You know, I never even thought of it that way. I'm on this podcast forum on Facebook, and someone said, do I stick with strictly audio? And I remember seeing one comment. I have no idea who it was from. They said, if you're going to do it, why cut off some more audience that might watch? You know, why cut off that aspect of people that might watch? Like my parents, they sit down. Every Monday is their routine. They watch the podcast at
love
night.
It.
And so now that's like the thing that they do. So they want to watch
it. Well, now at least they can watch two episodes with their second son.
Yes. With their second son, Fred Hurley, decked out in TW gear.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-Sunday Red.
Please Sunday Red. I'll be in my Sunday Red tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe Tiger should sponsor us. What? I mean.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Never say never, kid.
I highly.
Well, he doesn't sponsor a drinking podcast with just having a couple of high noons.
No, Tiger's very specific with everything that he does. Yes. Like Tiger doesn't sign autographs unless it's through. I'm kind of only speculating this, but at all the tournaments I've ever been to, I've never seen Tiger sign an autograph for a fan.
Okay,
they're usually people bringing him items from that specific tournament.
Sure,
for charity or
yeah,
some kind of arrangement that's been pre-made with what I would refer to as like Tiger's people.
Yeah,
now he has people.
Before we wrap this up, I have a question for you. It's actually a question from Gritty 18, aka
Gritty 18,
aka Corey,
aka Corey Sveen, which is his birthday today. So we're recording this April 13th, which is Corey Sveen's birthday, aka Gritty 18.
Also, if you are thinking about getting your taxes in, you got two more days. If you're listening to this right now,
Monday's tax day.
But if you're listening to this right now, it's too late. So, anyways, Gritty 18 has a question for you, and he wants to know. Live or PGA?
Is that even a question?
It is from Gritty 18.
Gritty 18. PGA Tour, through and through. No Live, but it's okay. I know secretly you are a favorite of Tiger Woods. You love watching him golf.
Yes.
You love watching him do good.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the question.
You know what we don't like is when he jabber-jabbers about it.
Yeah, Corey likes to jabber-jabber.
Jabber-jabber guy. Well, I think that's about, I mean, we can have a part three if we need to another time.
Yeah. I mean, the main focus that we actually talked about it after the Westlife concert, it was we should sit down and do a podcast. And I've been to a lot of concerts. Mm-hmm. We can talk about concerts. So I think it's very fitting. You know, we talked about the Masters and kind of what we're at right now in our actual lives and what's been going on. We talked about the concerts. We talked about a little bit about the podcast. So.
And right now we got golf tournaments coming up. Maybe, you know what we should do is when there's maybe not, when golf season's over, maybe we should come back on and do a recap on our tournaments and see if we've won anything.
We could do monthly recaps.
Monthly recap. Well, my whole goal actually, eventually, if I could get this down pat, is to have two a week come out. One on Monday, one on Thursday, like a lot of people do. Whether I can get right now, I don't want to run out of guests because right now I'm obviously limited on my time, first of all, for one. And for two, I don't want to run out of guests where I'm doing two a week because that just doubles the schedule I have to do and try to find time.
Yeah.
So the one a week, is always my goal, and it's always my goal to have at least two-ish in the vault, basically. So that way, if someone can't come on or something comes up for me, I'm not like, oh, I have nothing. Because I just told this, I think it was Ashley 2 weeks ago, I feel like the thing you have to do, like you said, it takes time, but also I think consistency is also key to that, because of all of a sudden, oh, that week didn't come out. Oh, now it's coming out on Wednesday, and I don't know when to expect it. Because when I listen to certain ones, and you probably do too, you're like, hey, Monday comes out, this one's on, or Thursday comes out, or Saturday, certain ones come out. And I know that from like Armchair Expert. There's this one that's with Dax Shepard. On Friday.
Listen to him and Theo, by the way. That was good too.
What's that?
I listened to him on Theo's podcast.
Yeah, I just finished that one.
Really, really good. Yeah. But anyway, continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Off your train of thought.
But he comes out with this one where it's called Armchair Anonymous, and people call it, they like put out a topic. One of them was like worst day. Another one was like, they have weird ones, delivery driver. Anyways, they have to write in, and if it's something that they want to talk about, they interview them over Zoom and on the podcast, and then they talk about that topic and how it happened for them, or what the weird story was. That one I was looking forward to on Fridays, and if it doesn't come on Friday, I'm like, what happened? So I think consistency also is that, so I always try to do Monday, beginning of the week, start your week off right, because I mean, hopefully this is fun for people to listen to, and it gives them something to do on Mondays. Driving to work, you know, like you do.
I think you're doing it right by having it, you know, every Monday. So I agree with you. I think if you try to – so there's two different trains of thought. Sometimes people say don't sell yourself short. I'm more – if you think you can, if you have enough workload for one a week, don't try to push to the 2 a week and start focusing on other areas to try to improve. And then if those areas – not I shouldn't say improve. It means that – but you know what I mean, like what we were talking about earlier with, is there ways I can, you know, marketing or this, that, or the other thing? If you can start tweaking those with staying within your consistency of having the every Monday, and then if all of a sudden you're, oh gosh, I'm doubling my views or my downloads or whatever it might be.
Sure.
Then you might go, okay, now I can start incorporating maybe 2 a week. Obviously do whatever you want, but you don't want to focus so much on, who knows? Maybe 2 a week would get you the results you're looking for.
Yeah.
You never know, right?
Yeah, I'll double the workload. Again, like I said, I want to stay consistent. So if it's going to be Monday, Thursday, it has to continue.
It has to be Monday, Thursday.
Yes.
You're right.
So I don't want to do that at the moment when I'm just starting off, literally just done with month three.
Yeah, because if all of a sudden you try to do that,
you never know what's going to happen.
And then you're like, I don't have enough guests.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden either you're Monday.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, well, I thought you had one Thursday too.
Another thing that Stephanie told me I should do is maybe some TikToks of, you know, you probably scroll through TikToks and you'll see a podcast, and you, like, I've seen Theo Von's come up all the time, and it's just like a 30-second snippet of who the guest was, what they're talking about, and that was it. And it might intrigue you to watch it, or YouTube Shorts and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I definitely think those would be good.
Okay.
100%.
Good. I got another.
But I also don't want to blow your budget. Because I don't know if you've ever seen those, like, behind the scenes of the, like, Theo's podcast. He has a team of people.
Oh, I know he does.
And there's several cameras set up because they have one on him, one on the guest, overview, and then they, you know, there's just several of
them. My thought
was, to do some of those, it can be.
My thought was doing something else, not just that, but also, like, as people can see, if you're watching this, we're in a big man cave car garage. Going around talking about maybe each car that's literally sitting in here would be like just a 30-second to a 1-minute thing, just talking about like, oh, this is the car you see behind us. You see this Mustang. It's a GT500. This is what's cool about it. This is what's got for a motor in it. Just something real quick.
What if you – go ahead. Sorry.
That was all I was going to say.
What if – so if you're wanting to get more, let's call it streams for the show, what if you did – Monday with a guest, Thursday, and then every week you pick a topic. And it could be 10 minutes.
That was another
15 minutes.
That was another thought I had, is just one alone. You're talking about?
I'm not even necessarily saying like one alone. Well, it'd obviously be one alone, but whatever format it might be. Is it a YouTube short? Is it, hey, this week we're going to talk about nutcrackers? There's a nutcracker over there. That's why I thought of it.
Yeah. Not like, the nut. Yeah.
Like, we're gonna talk about this Thursday is going to be an episode about nutcrackers.
Yeah.
And then you research whatever that topic is, and then you do 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour.
Sure.
If you can talk that long about that topic, and so you have like your guest, because I know that's one of the things with Dax Shepard's podcast, at least from listening to Theo's, was that he's got like celebrities, field experts of like scientists. Yes. I think maybe they do two a week, maybe even three. I can't remember exactly.
Well, yeah, they
I don't
do.
Recall how many he said, but they have different. There's different like genres of it.
Yes. So it's like different subcategories. So you have your celebrity, like you said. Then, yeah, you have the field experts that are something in like psychologists,
yeah,
whatever it is. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And each, actually, the funny thing is each cover has a different color. The yellow one is usually celebrities. I think it's bluish or greenish is usually the field expert one. The one I'm talking about is the unanimous or the armchair unanimous. Now it's red, and then it has the topic on it, so you can see what the topic is that day. So I agree with you. I think I gotta work that into the system. But yeah, just kind of like every podcast, the people ask me. It seems like. You know, I'm just trying to cut my teeth with my friends or people that are close to me. So if I screw up with something, they're like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, just keep, you know, do whatever you got to do and we'll get right back into it. And I'm cutting, editing video and all that. So then when I get like someone that maybe is a, it's quote unquote, maybe a celebrity someday, I can just streamline this and it's just so natural and nothing goes wrong. Well, so I just got new cords here, you know.
There's
so,
a celebrity on today.
Yeah, you. Yeah. Baby B. That was you. You were a celebrity,
that
man.
That was my nickname. Still am.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No.
No.
Just that. I think if you're trying to do maybe 2 a week, maybe just focus less on the guests then, and maybe find topics.
Yeah.
That's where it made me think of it when you're talking about the cars.
Yes.
Right, because like you could pick a car a week.
Yeah. Why we have it, or where it came from.
And then you could just, that could evolve another time.
I like that one. I might do that. I might do that.
Just you know what I mean?
You know, because some of these are my dad's, and he could just give me a rundown where he got it from, why he got it, why he likes it, whatever it is. That'd be actually pretty good. He's supposed to be on the podcast sometime.
Yeah, and you could include him on the shorts for those, like the vehicle portion of it. Or you could simply just say, hey, that vehicle right there, tell me.
Yep.
5 sentences about it, so I can tell my listeners.
Yeah, that may be a good idea.
And then you get done with the vehicles, move on to the next thing.
Sure, sure.
The next topic. You could make it informative. You could make it learning. Like, hey, every week we're going to learn something together. I'm going to try to pick a topic that I don't know hardly anything about.
For those who are listening, I mean, you can comment. Let me know what you think might be something that you would be interested in listening to, or... maybe even the giveaway, like I thought, or maybe expand on one of Brett's good ideas. I don't know. Anything to make this popular.
I think we both tossed around a lot of good ideas.
I think so.
It's all it is brainstorming, right? You're just trying to think of different ways to do things and
how you're gonna
do it.
Sure. Well, I think that's a good spot to stop there. This has been fun, man. This was kind of almost an impromptu. I mean, we discussed it, but we never said, we're going to sit down and do that. Whereas that you're like, hey, last night, we're going to record tomorrow? Yep, let's do it. Perfect. Yeah. We went and put the boat canvas on, got your eyes and glass up, and here we are. And
yeah, by the time this episode comes out, the boats should be in the water.
They will be. Yes, they will. Mine probably not yet. Mine will be sitting in my driveway because I don't think I'm putting it in until about middle of May.
Oh, there you go.
But I got to go get it this next week.
There you go.
Unfortunately. So anyways, thank you again for coming on. Cheers to me there, kid. We've got the high noons. And this has been another episode of Brews and Crews. Again, you can follow me on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. There's a few other ones that you can, but also you can find me on the Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And that's it for this week. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.